choices they're actually doing to the environment. So somehow we need to get them to think about a sustainable food source.
And is
rather
that,
than meat.
Is that the most powerful choice that any individual can make in contributing to a sustainable future?
I think on a personal level, it is. It's pretty hard to avoid fossil fuels. I mean, you can change your power, but every time you walk down the street, if you go into a building, you don't know whether they're using what source of power they're using. It can be fairly expensive to change your car. But vegan food, vegan clothing has never been more affordable and more accessible. And there's so much support you can get now, like with Challenge 22 or Veganuary. So the resources are there to do it. I know there's some antinatalists who would probably say that the biggest thing you could do is not have children, but not everybody either can have children or wants to have children. So, yeah, and going vegan is something that
I know plenty of people who are vegan and don't want children. So you can make both choices.
Well, and also I think when you're talking to people, you don't want to start from a polarizing place. And in addition to veganism, you know, the idea of telling them you shouldn't or couldn't, you know, you shouldn't have children can be very polarizing as well. And that's really the last place you want to go when you're trying to change hearts and minds, you know. I would think. So let's talk a little bit. We've talked about the personal. Let's talk about the political. You know, the UK recently became the first country to declare that we are in a state of climate emergency. And of course, the current administration of the US is actively denying there's a problem and they are removing protections for animals and the environment. The, you know, the Endangered Species Act is just weakened by the Trump administration, amongst other things. Can you tell us how the Australian government has responded to the climate emergency?
Pretty much exactly the same as the United States.
Ah.
It's yeah. They don't believe in climate change, basically. So we tend to change our prime ministers fairly regularly now. I think we've had 5 prime ministers in the last 10 years or something. But yeah, one of the government's previous prime ministers, he actually described climate change as, and I won't use the term, but he said BS. He used the full term.
Right.
And the current Prime Minister brought a lump of coal into Parliament as a prop and was citing it as the future of Australia. So he's all for coal. We've got a big coal mine that they're trying to push through that is going to cause a lot of destruction to the Great Barrier Reef. And, yeah, business as usual for them. And
it sounds as though the Australian federal government is almost as comical these days as the U.S. government. Really.
It is. It's fairly comical.
If it weren't so tragic, right.
And I had so much hope.
Yeah.
So what, the Climate Save movement itself, what are its grander goals internationally? You have any campaigns or anything like that that Climate Save is working on right now?
Yeah, so we're trying to build the movement still, but campaigns, we're working with the Extinction Rebellion on the solidarity actions with Amazon Watch, and also trying to get the boycott running against what we'd call a Dirty Dozen. So Amazon Watch put out a list of the Dirty Dozen companies that are exploiting the Amazon, including Cargill, which is an animal feed company.
Right.
They, huge company. Mighty Earth did a report on Cargill, calling them the worst company in the world. And then there's also JBS, which have slaughterhouses around the world, but they're shipping beef globally.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at trying to do some corporate campaigns. And then we've also got an organizer who's putting together a campaign in Europe for a trade deal. So they're trying to get a Mercosur trade deal with the EU. So it's a block of countries, Argentina, Brazil, South America, and they want to ship, they want a free trade agreement, basically, and they're trying to, there's quite a few people upset about it, including farmers. It's a bizarre situation. We've got animal farmers in Europe actually working now together with animal rights groups So the Party for Animals, I think it's called, in the Netherlands, they've been approached by farming groups and they want to try and block it. And yeah, it's an interesting time, I think.
Yes, indeed it is. Lots of polarization, lots of changes, lots of events happening. We've been talking with Tim Verhoef from Australia, a Climate Save Movement organizer in Wagga Wagga. And right now, we'd like to take a little break from that and ask anyone who's listening and who values this show, Voices for the Animals, and the message that we put out there. I don't know of any other radio station who has an animal rights program. Maybe they're out there, but I'm not aware of them.
Mm-mm.
That's only on KBOO, your local radio station. And we would like to ask you to become a member, if you're not already, to make a one-time donation, if that's what you want to do right now, or to increase your current membership. And that number to call in for today is 877-500-5266. The internet people, the web crawlers, that address is kboo.fm/give. And today, if you donate right now during this hour of Voices for the Animals, you will get a free premium gift of a wooden laser engraved pin, either an orca or an elephant with the word
free.
They're
so cute.
They are pretty darn cute.
They are really cute.
By our very own co-host, Julianne Schwartz, $12 retail value and unique. You won't get them anywhere else.
And we have Jenka over in Pitch Central there to tell us a little bit more about how you can help KBOO.
I am here, and I am really excited about these pins. You get that in addition to any other thank you gift that you say you would like if you give $5 a month or more. And we are just a little over $200 away from that $40,000 mark, and I know that we can hit that by 11 o'clock. If we just have one person give that $25 a month contribution to get a KBOO hoodie, we'll go well above and beyond. And I think there is somebody out there that is itching for a KBOO hoodie to wear through this winter. And you can put that animal pin on it, your little proud little free elephant or your free orca on your KBOO hoodie, and wear that around town as we head into the winter months. You know, these are interesting times, difficult times. And we want to ask you to contribute to the station that brings people together, to lift all of us up rather than tearing people down by dividing us between factions and between parties. KBOO is here to bring people together. We talk about the interconnectedness of struggles, climate save, animal save, the international to the local connection that you're hearing on this show. Make a decision to be a part of KBOO and support something great in your community, and do it right now. This drive ends tomorrow. This is your last day to support news and public affairs on KBOO, so you might have been putting it off. Now is the time to do it. We want to thank Lisa. Cowbell there. Thank you, Lisa, for your contribution. And Lisa, call back if you can. We missed one piece of information from you, and you could be the next person that we thank. There is something here that speaks to you, and we want to continue this work. Help KBOO help you. Call right now, 877-500-5266. Enact positive change in your community by calling right now. And Michelle, I can almost see you across there. How are you doing? And I know that you've got a lot of loyal listeners. What would you say is the top reason for people to support right now before 11 o'clock?
Really, I want to speak to anybody who is an animal lover or is concerned about how our changes in the earth and how the man-made changes are affecting the creatures on this planet, how animals are being driven to extinction on a daily basis. We're losing our birds. 60% of them are gone. If animals mean something to you, if the welfare of animals means something to you, then by all means, now is the time to call during this show, 877-500-5266. If you want to do it in memorial or in honor of an animal that you love, by all means, we would love to take your donation to help KBOO continue to give a voice for the animals and a mic to the people. You can also go to kboo.fm. That's 877-500-5266. Please call us now. You're listening to a special membership drive edition of Voices for the Animals. I'm Michelle Coppola.
I'm Noah Bristol, and we're here with Tim Verhoef, calling in from Wagga Wagga, Australia. He is a Climate Save organizer there. And Tim, I'd like to ask you about something that Australia is known for, the Great Barrier Reef, and what effects climate change is having on that part of Australia.
So, yeah, we've got ocean acidification, and that's causing coral bleaching. And then we've also got deforestation. Like which is driving climate change. But 94% of the deforestation in the Great Barrier Reef catchment area is a result of beef farming.
94%.
So then we've got runoff from their waste, and then also fertilizer. It's a cumulative effect. I did hear a report, and it's just tragic, but they said that that's another thing that we've lost, the Great Barrier Reef. The damage is now irreversible, and
the Great Barrier Reef is one of the natural wonders of the world, and you know, when you talk about the coral dying, you're also talking about species that depend on the coral dying. These are animals that are losing not only their homes but their food and their way to live, and those are other species that maybe are out of our eyesight that are completely disappearing when you lose the barrier reef.
And when one single product is responsible for 94% of the deforestation in that area, that raises my eyebrows, and I'm sure it raises a few of our listeners' eyebrows as well.
Can you say that one more time? That can you talk about that statistic one more time? Because I think that's really impactful.
Yeah, it's 94% of the deforestation in the Great Barrier Reef catchment area is caused by beef farming. And it's actually... so. On a local level, I've been trying to work with Extinction Rebellion here. We've actually got a chapter here that started, and they included that statistic on a menu that they presented to the Deputy Prime Minister, who comes from Wagga, at a lunch that he had. So it is getting out there, and people are seeing the animal side of things.
It's terrifying how quickly it's happening and on the scale that it's happening. You know, we talked a little bit about talking to people about climate change versus talking to them on a morality level about animal welfare and about how their personal choices affect the earth. Aside from political opposition, can you talk a little bit more about the challenges your organization and other activist organizations face when they are attempting to change minds about animal welfare and the climate crisis?
Well, I think it's the barriers that people have as to why they won't change. And I think convenience is one of the things. We're stuck in a lifestyle that we've become accustomed to, and it can be difficult to want to change that. And I think one of the big problems is subsidies that makes it so easy to continue that lifestyle. So... like, subsidies worldwide for agriculture, I think it's around $1 million a minute, which, roughly, $1 trillion a year.
And where are those subsidies going? Is it going to healthy fruits and vegetables?
Well, 1% goes to environmental benefits. the bulk of it, of course, goes to high emission farming, which is cows, which, again... further deforestation, and then also fertilizer, which we get the agricultural runoff and pollutes waterways.
So worldwide, our tax dollars are subsidizing our own climate destruction. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I mean, we could be trying to put that into food that is sustainable, that's healthier, better for the environment. But that's one of the big challenges, I think. If we could make food more affordable and accessible, while actually passing on the actual costs of meat, so making a realistic price for meat. I mean, there's various figures I've heard, like a hamburger actually costs, $14 instead of $2. It's subsidized.
A lot of people live in food deserts where they don't seem to have there's also an economic justice, portion to this as well. There are people for whom it's not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of they just don't have any access to healthier options. And that's one of the reasons that subsidies are a big issue, is because they make it so that a lot of people live in food deserts and that it's cheaper to eat unhealthy. It's cheaper to eat animal products than it is to eat healthy fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, the prices of avocados here in Australia. It's either do you own a home or do you have avocados?
Wow.
I don't know. Avocado toast is pretty darn good.
You struck me as the avocado toast type. You really did.
So. Yeah, it's tragic that people for whom they are living in those food deserts, the cheapest options they have available are usually not very helpful for them. And those are only cheap because of the subsidies that are given to those products by our governments, by our tax dollars.
And the interconnectedness of it is, mm-hmm. is something we have to recognize, that, you know, the choices that you're making, that those subsidies and so forth are spoiling the earth and making it eventually inhospitable for us to live. We're a lot of indigenous cultures especially are feeling the effects of climate change right now. Pacific Islanders whose homes are going to be underwater, mm-hmm. and so forth. You know, it's really scary to think if we weren't so far removed, we would be feeling it a lot more than we are here in most of the United States.
Yeah, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, the Portland area. We're pretty well insulated from a lot of the most extreme effects of climate change. We don't get hurricanes here. We get long fire seasons sometimes. But in many parts of the world, the effects are extreme right now. And there are nations that have suffered far more than we have in the U.S., who have contributed far, far less to this global climate crisis.
So we've talked a bit with you, Tim, about how people can, on a personal level, do things that will help with the climate crisis. But really, I mean, we have to admit, to a certain degree, that's a drop in the bucket. What you are really needing is people to get out there and spread the word and fight. As far as becoming more actively involved, what can people do? Where can they go to get more information and to participate in getting the word out?
So, yeah, climatesavemovement.org. You can go have a look at the website there. We've also got a Facebook page, Climate Save Movement. You could either message the page, or there's an email address, info@climatesavemovement.org. And if you wanted to start a chapter, we can have a talk to you, see what you can do. There's no real pressure. I mean, local areas will have different concerns and different options of what they can do. So, like, it'll be different to Toronto, where they can do an action at the embassy there. I mean, some places might have a university that they can try and work with student groups, mm-hmm. Get them involved in tree plantings, basically build a movement.
Yeah, there are 170 chapters, I believe, right now of Climate Save worldwide. So you might have a chapter near you, and you can find that out at climatesave.org, was it?
Yeah, climatesavemovement.org.
Climatesavemovement.org, or you can even start your own chapter with help from Climate Save. Now, I'm in need of a little hope and optimism here, Tim. Can you tell us about a transformative moment that you've had in your activism, something inspiring, a change maybe in the outreach?
I think
it's pretty sad. It's taking him a minute, yeah. Right?
I was hoping for, there was this one gentleman the other day.
I think the global strikes, that's actually been encouraging to see people getting out in the streets.
Yeah, we had one just last Friday here in Portland, several thousand people out in the streets.
How many people did you have?
I think it was about 2,000. I'm not sure of the exact count.
Yeah, 2,000 to 3,000. Yeah.
I think that's fairly good for the United States. The numbers seem to be fairly low.
We just got a little tip from our producer. It says it was actually 15,000 people. So
that's more like Portland. Yeah, that's more like Portland.
Yeah. I think Montreal, they probably get like 200,000 or something, and then. Like Toronto, I'll get a couple of thousand. It's one of those things. I think seeing that happen around the world is exciting. And then we're starting to get the message out there. Like, it's seeing people with signs about animal agriculture going vegan. I was at the climate march in Sydney back in March, I think it was, and there were 30,000 people.
Wow.
And just randomly, I heard someone shout one of the kids shout, "Go vegan!" And it was the message is getting out there.
It's the little things.
Yeah. and the kids were excited because there was supposed to be vegan ice cream, but the police didn't give a permit, so that got shut down. But yeah, it is getting out there, the message, I think. Whereas a year ago, it was really hard to talk to anybody about animal agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
No groups mm-hmm. wanted to hear about it. And more open today.
So you do, with Climate Save, also have Health Save and Animal Save. So if people are concerned about different aspects of Climate Save or the planet, becoming activists about climate issues, they can get involved with those specific organizations. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. So Health Save, they have some initiatives running, including Street Vegan, which is providing vegan food to homeless people.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're also trying to get vegan menus into like hospitals, schools, and like these are campaigns that like Climate Save groups can use or Animal Save groups can use, but yeah. It's sort of interchangeable.
I was about to ask, there must be a good reason for subsidizing these industries, these foods that are so destructive to our climate. Is it because they're good for us? Is it because they're healthy for our bodies?
Well, I don't think so.
Or is it because the people in power maybe profit off of those subsidies?
There is a book called Meatonomics that actually looks into the subsidies. And I think, so animal agriculture donates money to political parties and then they get money back. And
a fascinating subject. I'll check that book out, Meatonomics.
All right, so Tim will be back with you in just a moment. You are listening to a special hour-long pledge drive edition of Voices for the Animals. We're talking with Tim Verhoff from Climate Save. We're really putting the focus on climate issues today on KBOO and on this program, which really specifically gives a voice to the animals. And let me ask, if you found the show interesting or informative or inspiring, or if animals are of concern to you, if their welfare, if animal rights is of concern to you, we are going to ask you to do two things. First of all, tell somebody about this programming on KBOO, and then most importantly, please support us with a donation. You can do that for as little as $5 a month. You can do it with as little as a one-time donation of $25. 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give. All right. We do have a wonderful premium gift during the show for the next few minutes. We have just a few minutes left. If you give during this program right now at 877-500-5266, if you give, we will hook you up with one of these absolutely adorable, what are they, laser engraved wooden pins. Julianne Schwartz, one of the other hosts of this program, she created these. It's a little orca, a little elephant. They say free on them. They're adorable. And we'll make sure that if you donate during this program today that you get one, no matter what your donation is.
Mm-hmm. It can be mailed to you. And even if you're in the area, you can even stop by. We're here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Portland. And you can stop by, give a donation in person, or you can call that number, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm/give.
You know, this programming is all volunteer produced, and we would not have a studio or working equipment or a mic for the people or a voice for the animals without your support. And to tell you more, here is Jenka.
You know, we've got about 7 minutes left, and if we get two people giving $10 a month, we will hit that goal of 40,000. We're getting closer and closer, and then we'll move on to our next goal. But right now, we're working to get that 40,000, and our drive ends tomorrow. So you might have been hearing us and putting it off, and now is the time to do it. Because if you can do $10 a month, in addition to that cool animal pin, the elephant, the orcas, designed right here by one of our KBOO hosts, you also will get On Fire, the new book by Naomi Klein, The Case for a Green New Deal. This is the long-form essays that delve into the clash between ecological time and our culture of perpetual now, this soaring history history of rapid human change in the face of grave threats, rising white supremacy and fortressed borders as a form of climate barbarism, and a rousing call to transformation, a dire warning about what awaits if we fail to act. You'll get that as a thank you gift if you just pledge $10 to KBOO, $10, and then next month another $10, and continue that to be a sustaining supporter of KBOO Community Radio. Call right now, set it up. It only takes 3 minutes of your time, and it's very, very easy to do. $10 a month can be done from your checking account, from your credit card, from your debit card, any way that works for you, and you can get those thank you gifts and the real gift of community radio to join in this important work. And do it right now so we can reach the goal in the next 6 minutes for Voices for the Animals. Support this show and support public affairs programming on KBOO by calling 877-500-5266. It's so important to come together at times like these to lift each other up and to be united in our calls for transformation and our calls for change to the status quo. So call right now and be a part of this amazing community, this amazing experiment in community radio. 877-500-5266. Sign up at that $10 a month level. Just all you have to do is say yes. You don't have to put any money forward right now. Just $10 and contribute. Get yourself the thank you gifts, the animal pin, and Naomi Klein's book, On Fire: Capturing the Burning Urgency of the Climate Crisis, as well as the fiery energy of the global movement that is catalyzing right now for a Green New Deal. Call now, 877-500-5266. 5 minutes left.
Welcome back to Voices for the Animals. We're here with Tim Verhoff from Wagga Wagga, Australia, a Climate Save Movement organizer there. Now, Tim, I want to know, you're a busy person, I'm sure, with lots of responsibilities, yet you choose to give your free time to this cause. What makes this cause so important?
Well, it's a necessity, I feel. I don't know how I couldn't do it.
It feels like an obligation.
It does feel like that. Like I've tried not doing it, but I end up finding myself joining in things, and then it's one of those things. I think I feel like I can do it, so I feel like I have to.
And yeah, I'm sure many of us are familiar with that feeling, that little voice inside that pushes us to do something and contribute to the world. But what about this climate crisis issue called you more than any other issue?
I think it was the sustainability aspect. Cowspiracy. I saw Cowspiracy, and that was my eureka moment.
Mm-hmm. Documentary on Netflix, Cowspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's one of the films that we try to do screenings of. Mm-hmm. Everything just sort of came together, and then I found I wasn't having to justify eating animals, so I got involved in animal rights somehow.
Maybe because you have a heart. That's
I think the biggest thing for me was when I went vegan. The very next day I went, I've made a huge mistake. I forgot about cheese. I haven't thought this through at all. But, I mean, I haven't missed cheese. Everything just sort of made sense. And, yeah, the climate, I feel like we need to do something. And to seeing the effects of what's happening, if I can try and help people get involved.
Make that connection.
Yeah. Or even just, you know, switch from plastic toothbrushes to bamboo. Just little things. It all is accumulative.
Well, thank you, Tim, for being with us here today, calling all the way from Wagga Wagga, Australia. We've been speaking with Tim Verhoff of Climate Save on a special pledge drive edition of Voices for the Animals on KBOO. If you want to know more about Tim or Climate Save or any of the Save movements, go to our page at kboo.fm/voicesfortheanimals or connect with us on Facebook. You can also reach the Save Movement at thesavemovement.org. Thank you again for being with us, Tim. And I want to give a notice to anyone who's listening locally or is in the Pacific Northwest that here in Portland on October 12th, we're going to have an official animal rights march. I believe it starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, October 12th, at Szymanski Park downtown.
You can find out a lot more about that on our Facebook page. We have information about that activist event, as well as other events, animal welfare events and animal rights events happening around our local community. It's all at our Facebook page at Voices for the Animals on Facebook. We have a calendar there that'll tell you about it. And Tim, before you go, I did want to touch one more time on the Indigenous Solidarity Action. Okay, there is an Indigenous Solidarity Action on October 9th. You can find out more about that at climatesave.org. How you can become involved in that particular issue if you would like to do so.
Peace. See you next month.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to the Voices for the Animals crew. And thank you to Tim Verhoef for joining us on the air this morning. And I'd like to thank you, dear listener, for joining the KBOO Foundation. But I can't do that until you call 877-500-5266 and tell us who you are and the amount of your radio bill and how you wish to pay it. Yes, join in with some of your friends and neighbors, some members of your community who got involved in the way and to the extent that made sense to them. And I get to tell you about one such right now, or a few such right now. One of which is how KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Dark Side Cinema, open every night and featuring independent foreign and art house films. Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available at darksidecinema.com. And some other of our neighbors got involved in the way and to the extent that made sense to them. And here is one of my other friends to tell you about it.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our